Thanks for listening to The Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for The Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
One scoop's all it takes. MDriveStart.com. Chocolate mousse in the morning. Did it this morning. One scoop, that's all it takes. MDriveStart.com. So Andrew Whitworth is one of those guys that not only has he been playing forever, but he just doesn't miss starts, right? Doesn't get hurt. And this year, suffered a torn left MCL and PCL damage in Week 10 against the Seahawks. Now, he is expected to return. He's starting to walk again. But it's interesting because I just read this morning, the same doctor that did Andrew's surgery is doing Joe Burrow's surgery this week. And Andrew Whitworth, Rams offensive lineman, Pro Bowl tackle, is joining us. So this is interesting. It is remarkable in a country with so many brilliant doctors that you guys would use the same doctor. I don't know why it fascinates me. But so let's talk about the surgery, because there are some similarities between you and Joe Burrow, torn left MCL. Is it painful after the surgery? Can you rehab it? Kind of take me, what are we going to see with you, and what are we seeing with Joe Burrow? What do you expect?
Well, here's the difference, Colin. I actually, as of right now, they've determined won't have to have surgery. So the difference is since, you know, he tore his ACL, he really has the same kind of thing as me. It's just the difference is once you tear that ACL, you have to have surgery. And obviously why he's having surgery early is when you tear all that, you have to go in and fix it. You with my injury, with a PCL, MCL injury, they can grow back. But if I would have torn my ACL, then you'd go in there and repair all three. But without that, you really wouldn't go in there and repair mine. So we're trying to avoid surgery right now. And so far it's going really well. And Dr. Elichosh obviously is an amazing doctor. And I know Joe Burrow will be in great hands.
So you guys, Rams at the Cardinals this week. Now, because of COVID, the protocols, you can't travel. You have to sit and watch at home. I saw Sean McVay was critical of Jared Goff, the quarterback, who's your friend, and I've defended a million times on this show. I kind of think it comes with the territory. Goff's very soft-spoken. He's a really good kid. Do you worry at all that public criticism two or three times in a month is going to bother Jared Goff?
I don't. I think Jared's a kid who knows what it's about. He's been in tough situations before. And I think he's built to weather this storm. I think that there's going to be moments throughout this season that we can look back right now and say that there's been some great play by our team. And then there's been moments that we're like, man, you know what? We'd like to have it back. And he's been front and center the whole time of owning it when he needs to and being a part of why we're successful as well. And so I think, you know, you really look at 2018, Colin. We had a similar performance against Philadelphia and Chicago and ended up in the Super Bowl. So I think it's one of those things that you really look at your season. You say, hey, you know what? We're building. You don't have quite the day you want and don't win a game. And you can't just fall apart. You got to keep digging, keep your head down, and realize it's about getting hot at the right time. And we're a healthy football team that has that potential.
You know, it's interesting. When you guys went out and got Jalen Ramsey, I initially said, wow, that is a lot to pay for a corner. And I wake up this morning and I look at your division with all these big receivers, and I'm like, oh, my God, he's like transformed the I think your secondary is the best in the league now. I mean, you've watched it. Did you know immediately? Because I didn't. Did you know immediately, oh, that's going to change some things with Jalen Ramsey?
I don't think you knew it immediately. I think everyone knows what a special player he was. But I think for me, really what's changed it is being in this environment, given the opportunity of what Sean does so well, of letting guys have ownership and who they are, how they carry themselves and what's important to them, giving them a voice. What's really been special to me is the tremendous player he is, but the opportunity to get to know how his mind works and the challenger he is. He's a guy that, to me, you know, coming from Jacksonville, you didn't hear a lot of good things about what his chemistry with the team was. You just knew what a tremendous player he was. And then now having him here, his ability to challenge our entire defense with the physicality they play with and whether they're soft and whether they're playing soft and whether they're hitting people or tackling, what they're doing. He constantly is challenging guys on the physicality they play the game with. And you watch him as a DB. People want to argue who's the best. I mean, there's not a more physical guy than him for sure at the position. I mean, you watch the way he tackles people, it's violent. And he's really made a difference with that attitude and the way he's able to challenge guys around him. That's what really makes you special. When you're an elite player and you have an elite ability to challenge people around you and make them better, you know what? Sky's the limit for your group.
You know, I think one of the things, it's funny about divisional rivals. And you probably felt this when you were in Cincinnati and you faced the Steelers twice and the Ravens twice, is you're not fooling anybody. And there is something about the 49ers and the Rams. They kind of, last couple of years, they just kind of have you guys' number. And kind of talk about that, the difference between facing divisional rivals and out-of-division and out-of-conference teams.
Yeah, I think when things become common, right, you know the defense they're going to play, you know the offense they're going to play, you really, those things you see, whether it be turnovers or critical moments in the game, stick out even more. And I really look at the last couple of years for us, you know, even the first game last year, come out of the half, it's a tight football game, we fumble the first play of the half and give them a chance to get a two-score lead, and they kind of hold on to it for the rest of the half there and keep the ball possession. Then you look at the second game. We're having a great game in the first half. We're winning, have a decisive lead at one point in the second quarter, and then we give up a turnover for a touchdown, which gets them back in the game and gives them the momentum that kind of led to a game going back and forth to the wire and them winning. And then this year it's been more the same. You know, the ability to just turn the ball over and not really possess it as well as we should have has come back to bite us against them, because we do know each other so well that you know it's going to be a close game. It's going to be one of those games where you're just biting your nails over who's got the ball last or who's kind of got control of the game, and you're not really going to run away from each other. And so it's another game in this instance this last week where turnovers really ended up biting us. You know, in critical moments, we ended up turning the ball over.
You know, it's interesting. It is, yourself included, Jalen Ramsey and Aaron Donald. It's an organization that has gone out and given up first-round picks and gotten stars. And, you know, it's funny. Sean McVay, he's a young coach. He's never overwhelmed by it. And I want you to take our audience inside. A lot of times when you get star-studded teams, they're very difficult to manage. You're dealing with guys making $25 million a year. And then you bring Jalen Ramsey in, outspoken guy. You got Aaron Donald, yourself, Pro Bowl players. Now, Jared Goff got a lot of money. You got star receivers. Why does it work, though? Why I never hear anything from the Rams are the quietest team. Forget, we're in the entertainment capital of the world. You don't even hear stories about the Rams. How does McVay balance all that?
I think just by the fact that he lets us be who we are. It's one of the few places I've ever played or been around where, you know, we don't really have rules. There's not a team rule. There's not a list of, hey, rights and wrongs. There's one team rule in our organization, and that's to be on time. And that's just because that's respectful. And that's the only team rule we have in our entire group. No one would tell you another rule because there's not any. You know, we don't care what you wear or what you're dressed like. We want you to be yourself and realize that we're all going to care about each other. We're all in this thing together. And as long as we're all pulling in the right direction, all the other stuff is just, it's an opportunity to create diversity. It's an opportunity to create divisiveness that just there's no point in it. And I think that we want to really have an opportunity where guys be themselves, bring out their best in their personality and challenge themselves to be at their best. Each and every week, and that's all that's important, and that we support each other along the way. So I think Sean just does a tremendous job of giving you that confidence that he's in it with you, and the only thing he wants to do is compete and win. And outside of that, we're not here to do anything else. And so I think that makes it fun, where guys enjoy the place they work, they enjoy the environment, and, you know, we don't have any yelling or cussing or screaming or calling guys out like that. It's just not the kind of environment. It's an environment to enjoy what you do, love what you do, and let's go compete to win together.
You know, it's funny, when you watch a movie, I've thought before in my life, if you were an actor, how could you watch a movie? Like, you'd be so caught up in other actors. As a football player who never missed games, when you watch a Rams game, if I was sitting next to you and you had the remote, what is it like to watch a game with a Pro Bowl left tackle? Are you a mess? Are you screaming? What is it like?
I'm a mess, Colin. At one point in the game the other day, I had to walk outside and just kind of take a walk. You know, I need to take a breather, just get away from the kids and the wife and yell at myself a little bit. And, you know, it's terrible. I mean, I'm sweating. I can't sit still. It's not any fun. I'm glad that people love watching our game. So far, I haven't enjoyed it very much. I'd much rather be on the field and have a little bit of feel like I have some kind of control.
Good stuff, buddy. Andrew Whitworth, get healthy. Love to have you back. Love having you on the show.
Hey, appreciate it, Colin. Thank you very much.
Be good. Great guy. You know what I love? No rules. Just show up on time. You know, so it's funny. Goulet, you've been with me the longest, right, Goulet? Like, do I have any? We don't even do a post-show meeting. Like, when I used to work at the other place, they'd have all these post-show meetings, and I was always like, why? We know if we suck. Well, why would I have to have a meeting with Goulet and yell at him? Like, if he's bad, he knows I'm mad at him, and if he's mad at me, I know he's mad at me. I don't believe in post-show meetings. I don't believe in rules. Show up. I always told my wife, just don't fool around. Other than that, do what you want. You know, the fooling around thing, be good, show up at night, you know, have dinner with me, and then you go off and do your stuff. I'm not a rule guy. I'm not a big rule guy.
I mean, I understand the point of it, but I think that you have to have a really strong culture, and you have to have good leaders in the locker room, and you have to have people who you know don't need a lot of, that kind of structure, you know? So I think what the Rams have is a really good culture. Like, that speaks to that.
But you're not needy. Goulet's not needy. You're not needy at all.
No.
I think rules are getting in the way of performance.
I mean, there's not that much. We just come here and work.
Well, yeah, but football, you could have every coach has a million rules. McVay's like, show up on time. It's like, that's my kind of coach.
Right, but he obviously trusts his guys. And they have a lot of pride and respect for their teammates. That's the only rule that they have.
Well, McVay did? He brought in, when he got there, he brought in Whitworth. And he had Aaron Donald. So it's like, nobody's going to mess around with a 6'7" tackle and the strongest guy in the league.
No one wants that smoke.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm not a big fan. I'm trying to think of my bosses. Who was a rule guy? I've had one or two rule people.
I've had some bosses. We've had some unnecessary meetings.
Trying to think. Dress codes. Oh, yeah. I had one of those. I wore jeans.
Dress codes?
Well, you know, people...
Actually, you know what? I have heard of that. I had heard of that.
You know
I didn't have to deal with that because I'm a woman, so, like, you're not really, like...
Well, what would I say? Yeah. Like, what would I say if I wanted you to dress different?
Yeah.
That would be appropriate. Nothing? There's nothing I could say.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. So, I, like... You
Joy,
know, there's
I don't like that blouse.
There's a few times in the business where, you know, being a woman works in your favor. That's one of them. Like, well, are you really going to tell me what to wear? I don't think so.
You can walk up to a guy like me, like, comb your hair to the other side. You look like a mess.
No, but it's radio where I ran into that. So there was, like, all the guys were complaining.
Because you were wearing
radio,
what?
You show up in anything.
Oh, yeah.
And no one cares. Just, no one can see you. So we had a boss once who was like, yeah, you got to wear button downs. And we were like...
My old company, they wouldn't let you wear flip-flops to work.
This is not going
to
last. I mean, I don't hate that rule. There's a lot of feet.
Okay.
I'm not a big feet person.
All right.
You drop something in your toe.
All right. Joy with the news.
No. Turn on the news. This is the Herdline News.
I don't get post-show meetings, though, in our business. And by the way, Mike and Mike used to have like a two-hour post-show meeting. I'd be like, what are you talking about?
Well, if you have a post-show meeting that preps you for the next day...
Well, how do you prep?
Sense.
There's
but,
games
but,
on.
Yeah, that doesn't work because there's stuff that like, everything's going
to
change.
I am in my car. By the time I sign off, I throw it to Marcellus and Acho, right?
Yeah.
I am in my car in 90 seconds, and I don't think about anything other than what I'm going to eat for lunch the entire drive.
No.
It disappears into the ether. I never think about it again.
I'm with you. I think it's one thing that's changed a lot for a lot of people in 2020. Unnecessary meetings.
Why?
And then that spiraled into like unnecessary Zoom meetings.
Oh,
which
God.
Have now been.
Can you imagine
down.
Being in management? No wonder they all hate us. Our life is so much better. They're in meetings
a
all
lot
day.
Of meetings.
That's why our managers all hate us. They're in meetings all day.
So DK Metcalf leads the league in receiving yards after having a career high 177 yards today against the Eagles. Unbelievable. And after his record-setting night, he said he had a little extra motivation going into the game.
Oh, I want to hear this.
One of the defensive coaches came up to me, and it kind of made me mad that he was like, I was in Detroit with Megatron, but you're not there yet. In my mind, I'm not trying to be Megatron. I'm trying to be me. So, had a little chip on my shoulder the whole game.
Don't tell DK.
Was that Jim Schwartz?
Yes, sir.
DK Metcalf. I was just talking to Andrew Whitworth during the break. He is he 245? How much does he weigh? How does a corner who weighs 204? I mean, it's
he's so fun to watch. He's similar to Derrick Henry in that he's just so big and so fast and so strong.
It's very rare in pro football where you get a physical mismatch.
Yeah.
Like Aaron Donald is too quick. for the people blocking you. DK Metcalf is too strong. Derrick Henry breaks into the secondary. It's literally a refrigerator coming down a mountain.
It is. He became the fastest player to reach 1,000 receiving yards in a season in Seahawks franchise history in 11 games. He's 248 yards from Steve Largent's Seahawks franchise record of 1,287 receiving yards with 5 games left to play. Jim Schwartz said he meant the comment as a compliment to Metcalf, telling him, "You may not be Calvin yet, but you're on your way." Metcalf responded on Twitter with the Jordan meme from The Last Dance. He's talked a lot. They were talking about on the broadcast. You know, he's a chip on the shoulder guy.
Yeah.
Like he likes having a little extra motivation.
Yeah.
And now if you compare Calvin Johnson and DK Metcalf through their first 27 games, DK does have the edge, although I would balance that by saying Calvin Johnson was not getting the ball thrown to him by Russell Wilson.
They're similar in that they're physically, it's not a fair fight.
Yes.
Calvin was just bigger and stronger. I feel like Metcalf is faster than Calvin Johnson.
They don't feel like the same. No, I know everyone's going to compare them.
I don't know if that's true. I'm just saying that.
I would need to pull up some old.
How fast was Calvin Johnson, Goulet? Get off the hockey scores for a second and get me some info I can use. How fast was Calvin Johnson? I feel like DK Metcalf is a faster Calvin Johnson.
I mean, he was Megatron, right? So he was physical, and it was a physical mismatch, like you said. So that's why he's going to get compared to him. Right. But obviously, DK does have an edge in that Russell Wilson is throwing it to him. I think DK is just, he's a different receiver to me, though.
What do you got?
Calvin Johnson, 4.35 40.
What?
DK Metcalf, 4.33.
Okay, so I'm wrong on that.
So they're the same.
Calvin was that fast?
They're the same.
God, that is
according to Google, I don't know how trustable that is.
That's pretty trustable.
Right. It's pretty accurate.
I didn't know
he's really fun to watch, and he was having his way yesterday in what was not a great night for the Eagles. So Drew Brees has had to watch Saints games from home as he recovers from multiple rib fractures and a collapsed lung, but he says he's similar to Whitworth, not relaxing while he's watching his team's success.
Well, I didn't sit down, but I had my call sheet in hand. And as the situations would arise based on kind of what I knew from the week, just tried to anticipate what was going to be called. And I mean, honestly, just play the game. You know, I mean, I love the game. Obviously, I have a huge vested interest in what's happening out there. Personally, rooting for, you know, a lot of guys as well. But man, just couldn't sit still. Just was like I was playing the game.
It's really funny comparison you use to actors. Because I never thought of that. Like, if you're an actor, how do you enjoy a movie without being completely critical of, like, what's going on and the lighting?
If you're a comedian, can you just go and laugh at the jokes? Are you deconstructing them? Are you watching his pacing and tempo and how he hung? You know, I'm like...
Well, I mean, when we watch other shows, I can enjoy the show.
No, I
watch. But I'm still...
Judging.
I'm still judging, yes.
No, I when I watch a show, as Goulet will tell you, it's all about topic selection. So I'll turn on a show and I'll be like, why would you do that topic? That's news. It's not a topic.
Oh, yeah. I'm totally with the topic selection as well. But also I pay attention to, like, if someone is saying, like, I'll be listening to what someone's saying. And if they're, like, constantly asking someone else, like, what they think, or if they, like, really don't have a thought, it's just kind of a bunch of words.
Rambling.
You know, yeah. And it's like, okay, they didn't really research that topic. They're just kind of like getting their way through this particular topic, which happens when we talk for 3 hours.
Yeah.
But yes, so I can see how this would be difficult for guys to sit at home, especially when they're still playing, because that's how I watch shows. All shows, like not even just sports shows, like news shows. I'm like, that's what happened there.
Yeah,
like, the prompter went down there. Like, you know when things are happening.
Oh, yes.
Then it's just impossible to not consume it when it's your business. But that's funny. That's the same thing that Whitworth is saying. Like, he's not enjoying it. But that's funny that he's really going through the play calls at, like, he's like he's on the sidelines. I guess that's the only way you can do it, because he's going to be back eventually.
Yeah.
So Dennis Schroeder finished second behind new Lakers teammate Montrezl Harrell for Sixth Man of the Year this past season. But this year he's hoping to have a bigger role with the defending champs.
I did this off the bench stuff already 2 years with OKC. I think I try to move forward. I think with AD and LeBron, you know, I can be helpful, I think, as a starter in the PG position, that LeBron, you know, don't have so much stuff in his mind.
You know, this one of the reasons this is big, the Clippers actually need a true point, and they don't have one. And the Lakers, who had LeBron controlling it, went and got him. When they first did this, I thought, oh, God, the Clippers could really use Dennis Schroeder. Because the Clippers, one of their issues was last year is, who's the point? Lou Williams isn't really a true point. I think this is such a massive move.
I'm really looking forward to seeing how this plays out. The Lakers, the rich got richer, and we were really looking forward to having the Warriors back full strength. The Clippers are going to be a little different now. I mean, it's hard to not. How do you not consider the Lakers to be the favorites going into next season?
I think they got better at everything. I think they needed more depth. They got it. They needed a true point when LeBron's off the floor, or even if he is on, got it. They needed a third scorer, got it. And they needed to get younger. So Rondo leaves, Schroeder in. Dwight Howard, I think, is gone now. And they get Montrezl Harrell in. So they got younger, they got deeper, they got a true point, and now they can shoot more. I just, athletically, they're better. I think they... I was actually, and I've, you know, I have buddies that work in the league, and I was like, that's one of those rare trades. You're like, that's kind of stealing a guy. That's when Pau Gasol, the Lakers got Pau Gasol. I was on a tarmac flying with a buddy to Mexico, and I literally was like, they just stole Pau Gasol. Kobe's got Pau Gasol now?
Well, the Lakers are back on track. They had a couple years of basically dysfunction, and now they're able to make moves moving forward. Like, they're the rich get richer. That's how it goes when it's a well-run organization. And the NBA season is just 22 days away.
All right.
December 22nd.
Good stuff. Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line News.
The game is called Call In or Call Out. Of the teams going forward, do I buy them or not? That's coming up.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Rectech Grills, RECTEQ.com. Stainless steel, 6-year warranty, built by grillers for grillers. All right, we're past Thanksgiving. We're starting December. They say this is the football season that matters. So we got a lot of teams in playoff contention right now. They would qualify today. Am I call in or call out on the team? Here we go.
All right. The Buffalo Bills, call in or call out?
I'm in on them. First of all, they're pretty lethal offensively. Josh Allen's the only quarterback with 20 touchdown passes and 5 rushing touchdowns. They've won 3 of 4. They're good off byes. What does that tell you? They're well coached. They're one of two teams in the NFL that's had over 20 first downs in every game. So I get the exact same offense every week. Very explosive. Beat you down the field. So I'm in. This is a playoff team.
How about my Dolphins? Call in or call out?
I think it's a playoff team. Call in. I'm in on them. They've won 6 of 7. 17 straight games defensively, they have a takeaway, which is really remarkable in the NFL. Ryan Fitzpatrick has won as a starter. Tua has won as a starter. Now, they're not as good as the Saints, but similarly, they can go to a backup. Tua's got a different style than Ryan Fitzpatrick. I think they're a playoff team. I don't think they're a win-a-game in the playoffs, but I think they feel like a playoff team.
How about the Browns?
Call out. I have my reservations. First of all, they've had the easiest schedule in the NFL. Right now, they're kind of a one-dimensional team. They run the football. But Baker Mayfield, 4 straight games, 20 completions or fewer. So they really – and right, by the way, now they face the Titans coming up, the Ravens coming up, and the Steelers coming up. And I think they lose all 3 of those games. They've won a lot of one-possession close games against some really average teams, and I don't feel great today about what I see.
The Tennessee Titans, call in or call out?
Call in. I like them a lot. I don't think they can win the Super Bowl. I think they're good enough to get – well, I guess if you can get there, you can win it. Fewest giveaways. They have they've scored over 43 times. They can demolish teams. They're not real finesse, but Ryan Fitzpatrick leads the NFL in fourth-quarter comebacks. Unlike Baltimore, they can play with a lead, they can play from behind, and 3 of their final 5 are against bad teams with losing records, so I think they're going to be a playoff team.
The Ravens, call in or call out?
Call out. I think I missed on this team. I think Lamar Jackson's struggling with turnovers. I think they're struggling with COVID. I mean, 22 Ravens have been placed on that. They're going to get hammered by the Steelers tomorrow afternoon, and it feels like they have a problem they can't solve, their passing game right now.
The Colts, call in or call out?
Call out. They struggle running the football. So Jonathan Taylor, I loved as a draft pick. He's missed some games. They average about 3 yards a carry, 3.6 yards. It's one of the lowest per yards carry in the NFL. They struggle against physical teams. Tennessee pushed them all over the field. The Ravens gave them problems. The Browns gave them problems. So Darius Leonard's a great player, but their defense is, you think it's a good defense, but you can run right at them. And now sometimes they can run at you, but not as often. So they don't run the ball consistently. They did against Green Bay, a finesse team. And they don't stop the run enough for me. So I think they're not good enough at quarterback to have those deficiencies.
The Raiders.
Call out. Yeah, they just need one more draft to figure out their defense. Seven games, they've allowed 30-plus points. You can't win by shootout every week. You know, last week's a prime example. Is that's how they have to win. Like they when their defense, when their offense doesn't show up like last week, they get blown out because they can't stop anybody. So they're just not a good enough team. Seven times somebody scored 30 or more against them. You can't win post Thanksgiving that way.
The Packers.
Well, they'll make the playoffs, but I'm out because I think there's a way to beat them. So they're 1-2 against teams with winning records. The Bucs blew them out, and the Colts in the second half blew them out. Their defense has allowed 100-plus rushing yards in seven games this year, and they allow almost 5 yards a carry. So it's a bottom 10 rush defense. So again, they're going to win games. They've got stars, but they had time before the trading deadline to get a linebacker and to get a more physical presence up front, and they didn't. And so, again, they're going to finish 12-4, 13-3, but I just don't buy them as a multiple playoff-winning team.
How about the Bucs?
I do. Again, they've lost back-to-back, so everybody's freaking out, but I'm not. I think their defense, they have the number one rushing defense in the NFL. That 20 takeaways is like only the Steelers have more. We're just freaking out over the Brady thing. Go look at his numbers. 28 TDs, 11 picks, 96 quarterback rating, 64% completion percentage. It's not as good as we want, but it's fine. Right now, he's a top 7-8 quarterback production-wise in the NFL.
The Rams.
I'm in. They're 0-2 against the Niners. They're 7-2 against everybody else. I don't think they have a huge flaw. I think when Jared Goff is comfortable, which he's not clearly against the Niners, but very few teams are as physical as the Niners up front. Their defense, their secondary is unbelievable. They allow the second lowest passer rating in the NFL. They've got a great coach. Jalen Ramsey can take out your best receiver. So I like the Rams. They played like crap Sunday, but I like them.
Finally, the Cardinals.
Call out, but I've always felt they're a year away. Most penalized team in the NFL. They make a lot of mistakes. Kyler Murray, you saw him Sunday. They're still figuring the game out. He's a young guy, needs more starts. Only started 1 year in college. He just needs more reps. It's a tough division. There's a lot of good coaches in this division and a lot of good defensive lines. I like Arizona, but I think everybody thought they were 5-11. Can they get to 8-8? That's about where they'll get. And then next year, he gets another 16 starts. They make their run next year. Casper.com, code HERD, having a big 30% off sale in the holiday season. Casper.com, code is HERD. Always get some percentage off. Deductible may apply. Casper.com. All right, good stuff. Flew through it. No post-show meeting.
Yes.
No, just go home. Go have an early cocktail. We'll see you tomorrow in Los Angeles. It's the HERD.